So for the last couple of weeks, we've been involved in a series entitled Arise. And what we're doing is we're answering this question of what does Jesus' resurrection mean for our lives? So a lot of times what happens in the church, as we've discussed, is that people spend a lot of time talking about the cross, but for some reason the church, and as we've grown, like we've kind of forgotten about the resurrection. And there's so many powerful things in the resurrection for our lives. But if we focus on just the cross and not the resurrection, what happens is it's like watching part one of a play when there's a part two and you're forgetting about part two. It's like you didn't see the whole play. You only saw part one. Well, the cross. And I'm here to say this morning that part two is the resurrection, and it means a lot to us. Now, you're probably wondering, if you just joined with us today, why do we have this thing full of peacock feathers, which is really cool, came from Heidi. The reason being is because we have a great, the cross is obvious. That's our thing about Jesus is dying on the cross. We know that. People wear it as jewelry, all that kind of stuff. But in the early church, their symbol for the resurrection was a peacock. Because even though they're wrong, they thought that the peacock would never actually decay or die, that it just kind of stayed on living. So whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. They had a symbol for resurrection, which is the peacock. So we got some awesome, awesome feathers for that. Now, again, what does Jesus' resurrection mean for our lives? That's the question we're going to be answering. But before we get to that, I want to tell you something that happened to me this past week that I cannot remember happening to me in the last, 12, 15 years. And maybe it's happened to you, but if you know this, some of you know my mother-in-law, she's from South Carolina, and she came up to visit us with my family. And she was very helpful, took care of the kids, very, very, very helpful. But, as many of you know, family's great, but a week is enough, right? It's time to go home. Mimi, bye, thanks for coming, you're going home. So Jess took her mom and our two oldest daughters to the airport in Niagara Falls because there's a direct flight there, and it's cheap if you ever want to go to Myrtle Beach, go that way. So she went to do that. I had the little one at home, the one-year-old. So I have one kid, she has two. She goes and drops off Mimi. I'm just chilling on the couch like everything's good. And then I get a call from my wife about a couple hours later. I'm like, that's interesting. And she says, honey, I went to Wegmans to try to buy a meal for the kids, but the card's not working. Did you deposit your check? Whoa. Oops. Oops. I mean, as an adult, I've done this as a teenager, or I've done this as a college student where I overdrafted my bank account. But I've never done it as an adult. So now I'm sitting there, and I'm, that panic that sets in. That panic that sets in as if, you had a test that you didn't study for, and then you got to school, and then you realized you had a test. You know that pit feeling? That's there, okay? It's in there, and it's, taking up more than my stomach can bear. And I'm like, no, Lord, no. Now I'm picturing my little girls, my poor wife who ran the card, and it gets denied. My kids sitting there with their food, please, sir, may I have some more? And I'm like, I'm telling you, I was so worried. Well, luckily, I logged on to the thing online, and I moved some money from savings over, and saved the day. Also kind of screwed up the day, but that's besides the point. And it reminded me a lot of when I first moved here to Western New York. I was part-time at the church. This is, almost 12 or 11 years ago. Yeah, 11 years ago. And I was working in debt collections. Anybody here work debt collections? Whew, God bless you. May the Lord bless you. It's hard. And I was doing it in Orchard Park. And for those of you who've worked in debt collections, you know how stressful it is to collect money. But you're also collecting money because you got to pay your bills. But you know how stressful it is for people that you're trying to collect debt on that you know don't have the money, right? And they always say this, if you call down south, the lady will be like, yeah, well, you can't get blood out of stone. And I'm always like, well, I can get water out of a rock, so maybe I could be able to get something. But that feeling that you have, like that I had, reminded me of what these people probably felt like when I told them that they owed money. And this, and it's like you're calling people sometimes that owe hundreds of thousands of dollars, and deep down you know that they can't settle that debt. And the hardest thing for me was when I was working on some awesome paper, which means in the debt collection world, like good money, right? That there's good money there. And the people I was calling, they were actually deemed suable, which meant that the company had hired all the stuff and they looked into them. This is their last chance before they get sued. And the problem is that the majority of those I was calling really couldn't pay off the debt. They may have some assets, but it's like their business. Or they may be able to do this, but they use it for work or whatever. And it was incredibly hard for me to put myself in their shoes and think they can't pay this debt. It reminds me of a verse in the Bible written by a dude named Paul. It comes in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Which spiritually speaking is that sin, the cost, the debt of that is death. I shared with you a story about my bank account being overdrafted and trying to collect money from other people. But the unfortunate and realistic truth that we all have to face is that every person on the planet has a debt of sin that you can't pay. Not only that you can't pay, can't settle it, can't do anything. And you're probably thinking, well, I'm a good person. I've never killed anyone. It's weird how that always happens. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody like, well, I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I'm like, since when is that the litmus test of whether or not you're a good person? But in Romans 3:23, it says this, "For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God." And that key word all, that pesky little three-letter word that shows up in things where you're like, all means you, all means me, all means everybody. We've all fallen short and have the debt of sin. In other words, spiritually speaking, we've all overdrafted our spiritual accounts. We're all getting calls from the debt collection agency of sin. And again, we're answering the question today, what does Jesus' resurrection mean for our lives? What I want to tell you this morning is that Jesus' resurrection is proof that we're justified. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Romans, we're going to be in Romans a lot today. And we're going to be spending some time here in this book. And the one I would like you to turn to is Romans 4:25. 4:25, Romans, written by Paul. He's writing to the Church of Rome. And here's what he says. He says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life." If you'll underline that maybe in your Bible or on your tablet or phone, you can just highlight that. "Raised to life for our justification." Now, the biggest thing is that we have to answer is, what in the world is justification? What does that mean? It's not really, what does justification mean? I'm going to make it really easy. Justification equals being declared righteous by God. Justification equals being declared righteous by God. God declaring that you're righteous. And another word for justified is righteous or innocent. And in the context that we're talking about, when you give your life to Jesus and you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, you are declared debt free. No debt. No debt. You're declared debt. I love it in the Young's literal translation. It says it like this: "Who was delivered up because of our offenses," that's why he died, "and he raised up because of our being declared righteous." It's beautiful. See, some people think that Jesus just rose from the dead just because that he was Jesus, or he was God's son. That some people believe that. Some people believe that God raised Jesus just for our justification. But if that's the truth, that can't be accurate. It can't be, because that would mean that the cross is not enough. That would mean that what Jesus said when he's there in his dying breaths and he says, "It is finished." Can I tell you this morning, it was finished. When he said, "It is finished," and the debt that he paid in his blood for our lives, when he said, "It is finished," it is finished. See, when Jesus was there, he says, it's finished. That means that the transaction is completed. That means that the payment for all of our sins has been paid. We're debt free. From that wage, that what is the wages of sin is death. That's what the debt is for sin that you have to pay is death. He paid it for you on the cross. We're debt free. See, Jesus was raised from the dead because we were declared righteous by the work that God did on the cross. When we were declared righteous, it was on the cross. How could Jesus have been who he said he was if the work on the cross didn't accomplish what he set out to do? How could that happen? If we weren't declared free from guilt, his sacrifice wouldn't be enough. Then he wasn't who he said he was. And if he wasn't who he said he was, he couldn't have been raised from the dead. But he was. That's the beauty. The cross was for our old life, and the resurrection gives us victory in our new life. Now, here's what I want to challenge you to look at when we're looking at the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is like a divine receipt. You guys know what receipts are? I have to get receipts for Leslie all the time when I buy things for the church or whatever, and I'm really bad at producing the receipt, okay? I have an issue with that. Sometimes I'm like, oh, shoot, where is it? And it's like in my pants that I wore 3 weeks ago or something like that. Been through the wash twice. Bring it to her, and it's all shattered. But what Jesus's resurrection means is a divine receipt. Now, does a receipt add value to the payment? No. A receipt doesn't add any value to the purchase made, but it's proof that the purchase was made. For some of you, when we order something on Amazon, thank you. That was very nice. Thank you. When you order something on Amazon, you order it and you get a confirmation code, right? You get a confirmation code, but you don't have the actual thing you ordered. If you order it on a Friday, you're not going to get it till a Monday. But that is proof that you got the confirmation code. That's proof that the payment that you made is made. And the same is true with the cross. So what I brought as a little, I've never used one of these. It's an adding calculator or something. And what's cool, I don't know why I would use one of these. I don't do anything with money. But let's say you put your sin in, right? I'll just put a bunch of sevens, and then I'm going to minus that by what Jesus did and put a bunch of sevens, and then I'll press equal, and then guess what? Here I got a receipt, and it says I owe nothing. I owe nothing. The resurrection is your receipt to prove that what Jesus did on the cross is true. That you are free from the debt. He has paid your debt. The proof of the transaction has happened. The cross was enough. Now, a lot of times we have an issue with this. Because of that receipt, the truth is that you can walk into the presence of God and say, he paid my debt. Jesus paid my debt. You can walk into that without anything. Now, who is satisfied when the debt is paid? A lot of times we think it's us, right? No, the person that was owed the money. That's who's satisfied. God is satisfied, and you got the proof right here. So when you're sitting there and you're wondering, God's against me. No, he's not. He's not against you. You got the proof. But here's the problem. Sometimes we're against ourselves. I can't be the only one. Sometimes you condemn yourself. Sometimes you feel like it's a devil, but it might just be you. You screwed up here. You messed up here. You didn't do enough. You're not good enough. This. You didn't do enough. When you're in those moments, and that's coming, and you've said yes to Jesus, produce the receipt. Produce the receipt. Show yourself that you have been washed clean and your debt has been paid in full. There's a thing in collection worlds, we call them sifts and piffs. SIF is a settlement in full, and then payment in full is a PIF. God paid it in full for your life. You are free from sin, and you got the receipt to prove it because of his resurrection. Put that receipt in your pocket and say, I am justified. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead is the absolute truth that he said who he was, If he said who he said he was, and that you've been made righteous, you've been made blameless, you've been made acceptable, debt-free by what God did on the cross for you. See, God received the payment, and he said, it is good. It is finished. I think it's interesting that when I pressed, you know, I put all the numbers in there, and then it comes up. Because that's exactly what Jesus did, was he came up. Isn't that cool? Next time you're at the Tops or whatever and they're printing out your receipt and you see it go up, let that be a memory or a reminder to you that he paid your debt and you got the receipt. And then I also think it's interesting that when you go to Walmart nowadays, you know how this is, you go to Walmart and they give you the receipt, you stick it in your pocket and then you're trying to leave and somebody's like, oh, excuse me, can I see the receipt? Can I see the receipt? Can I see your receipt? And then he's checking all the things, seeing if you did it all. See, that's what the enemy is always trying to do. Let me see your receipt. Let me see it. Let me get that from you. And you can pull that out and say, I'm good, man. You can't mess with me. I'm walking out of here. Amen, right? Your standing with God is righteous. You're free. You owe nothing. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter if you feel like, I don't feel like I am. You are. You are. That doesn't change anything. Well, I feel like I owe a lot of money. Well, I'm looking at your account here, and no, you don't. You don't owe anything. Doesn't matter. That's how it is. So another question we got to answer here is, when were you justified? In Romans 5, verse 1, again, I told you we'd be in Romans. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this thing I highlighted here, justified by faith, is an aorist tense, which means that it happened in your past, which means like this born-again experience. That's what it is. When you said yes to Jesus, aorist tense, you have been completely forgiven by Christ. Now, not one of these days I'm going to be righteous. Not like, well, one day I'll work there and I'll be able to get it. And maybe if I do a lot of stuff, I'll be, nope. When you said yes to Jesus as the king of your life and you believed in the death and resurrection of him, you were made righteous. That's a born-again experience. That's what it's all about. But listen, you are righteous. It doesn't matter if you want to work hard or not. Now, some of you are asking this question. It's a really, really, really good question, but I got a really, really good answer for you. Some of you are asking this. I received Christ in the past, but I've screwed up. I've screwed up. I've made some really bad decisions. Am I still righteous? I'm going to give you something, a gift to you, okay, that you can write this down, and this is your receipt, okay? Here's the gift. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, remember that word aorist that I showed you, which meant past tense? This word, justified, in the Greek, is actually a present continuous, it's continuous tense. Present continuous tense, meaning that you are constantly righteous. No matter what, you have the receipt to prove that you're righteous. God paid for your debt on the cross. He did it. So a lot of people like this say, well, God wiped my slate clean, and now he's just waiting for me to screw it up again. No, that's not what it is. And I can't, it's not that if you just live like you never had sinned, he wiped away my sins, I'd never had sinned. No, it's as if you lived a perfect life. And you're like, well, that's not fair. That's grace. I'm sorry. That's grace. Well, you don't understand what I've done in my life. You don't understand. No. Turn from your sin. You're forgiven. You're all good. He loves you. Stop acting like you're not forgiven. Stop acting like that. Now, it might not sound right to you, but that's grace. And here's how this thing works. When Jesus paid for your sin on the cross, it was like he had a bank account that could cover everybody's sin who's ever sinned in the world. He paid all that, and when you said yes to Jesus, he not only paid your debt, but he also gave you his bank account number that you can draw out anytime you want, and it's covered. God, tell me that's not sweet. If I told you right now, I'm going to pay your actual physical debt that you have on your house, and then I said, you know what? Not only that, you can have my bank account number. You can draw from it anytime you need it. You're going to be like, whoa, a debt is lifted off my shoulders. I am not guilty anymore. I don't deserve it. And that's why we live our lives for him. So we can earn this. It's already given to you. So you can walk it out in faith. Listen, what he did on the cross, sometimes people think, well, you know, what he did was just for back then. It's just for, you know, I screwed up. Listen, if you're in this place and you screwed up, listen, we all have, amen? We all have. But right now, accept that you are made righteous by what he did on the cross and then when he was born again, when he raised from the dead. You got the receipt to prove it, and there, you got the bank account number. You're good to go. Now start living that way and tell other people about it. That's the one thing we don't do. In case you didn't put these things together, this verse that we said this verse earlier, we said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Remember that? But the interesting thing is that's easy to remember. That first part is so easy to remember. Some of you have memorized that. You all know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But look at the second one there that we always skip over, being justified freely. That's where that verse comes. Yes, all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's one we always remember. It's like part one, a part two of the play. We forget about the second one, being justified freely. Last time I checked, free meant free. It's free, free, for free, free. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. Free. It's free. You know, listen, Buddha's got his like little ways of enlightenment. They have four little paths. You got Islam that says there's the eight different pillars of peace that you have to submit to. And then you might find somewhere on the internet of like 10 ways that you can feel better about yourself or whatever, right? And you're like, hopefully one of those 10 ways feels better about me. Like, no, this is free. Free. All he says is, come to me. You ever notice how simple that is? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. We always want to focus on the negative, but we need to be, the people of God know they're free. We have to act like that. It costs you nothing. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's free. Now, I'm telling you, you guys are going to love me today because I'm short. Not just short, but short. I am short too. In closing, I want to read to you this last verse. It's in Corinthians. See, we got out of Romans. We're in Corinthians. It's still written by Paul. 1 Corinthians 5:17. This verse that we're going to read, I want to read it together because it's telling you everything that this series is about. Let's read this together. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Now let that rest for a second, because I want to reword this for our conversation this morning. If you are living your life as if Jesus' death and resurrection wasn't enough, you're still in your sins. If you're running around and you don't act as if you're not living your life as if that Jesus died for your sins, you believe, some of you believe that, that's great. But if you're not living this thing out that says he's victorious over the grave, so therefore I'm victorious, if you're not living that, you're still in your sin. You're still muddying it around because you think it's not good enough and what he did wasn't good enough, and therefore you're some special person because of your sins were greater than everybody else's. No, it's not true. And what happens, I found, a lot of times is people, they have the receipt when they get saved, but something happens where they lose the receipt. They lose the receipt. They don't have it anymore. So when you're walking around, think about this. Like, if you're walking, you make a purchase, you go to the Walmart, and the guy says, do you have your receipt? And you lost it. You still owe that debt. You got to go back and pay it again. But you don't have the money. What are you going to do? You're stuck at Walmart. They're going to make you work in the back or something. Like, you don't want that. Keep the receipt. If you keep the receipt, then you're going to be able to live as if you're not still in your sins. See, this is the beautiful, beautiful thing. If Christ had not been raised, we know he has. Then your faith is futile, so we know it's not. And we know that we're not still in our sins. He's telling this to the people of Corinth because they're living their lives as if Jesus didn't do anything. So if you keep finding yourselves falling into the same stuff and over again, this has been a huge revelation for my life. I need to live victorious because he was victorious. I need to live as if my life is complete, and for some reason he calls me justified, even though I'm not. I'm acceptable to him. I believe in his words more than my own words, more than the enemies and what any of you say. But then somebody tells you, you're a screw up, you're a failure, you didn't do it. Pull the receipt out. Pull the receipt out. I screwed up, but man, God loves me. God loves me. And that love of God that he displayed on the cross and then through his resurrection is enough for you. It's enough. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to. Listen, I serve God because I want to. I like it. I like serving the one that paid all my debt. I'm not doing it because he'll like maybe forgive me in the future. No, he's forgiven me. And I live my life that way. I want to challenge you to live your life that way too. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, thankful, thankful. Man, we're thankful. God, there's so much junk and garbage that we found ourselves in our lives. So many things that we've done. But Lord, right now, I just want to rebuke Satan. I want to rebuke his lies. I want to rebuke the negativity that he likes to throw in our faces. And right now, Lord, I pray for those that are in this place that desperately need to hear the truth, that you will pierce through their hearts right now, Lord, and give them an injection of your truth, that they are loved, that they are forgiven, and they can live a victorious life in you. Lord, your resurrection is our receipt that you have done. Everything you said you were going to do, and we are thankful for that. But if you're here in this place this morning, and maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, maybe you've never taken that receipt and said, I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that all my sins have been covered, and I am free to live in him. If you've never done that this morning, I want to make it available, because you can do it today. You can do it today. Because listen, if you don't, you still have a debt. There's nothing we could do about that. You still have a debt that you can't pay. Wouldn't you like to take a free gift today? Wouldn't you like to take something free? If you owed a debt and somebody said, I'd like to pay your debt, think about how silly it would be if you said, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just going to stay in debt. Today, just say yes to Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. Say, Lord, I love you. I want to know you more. I accept what you did on the cross for me. I accept that you raised from the dead. And Lord, would you raise me also? Lord, raise me also. Get that receipt, because you're a child of God, but you have to accept him too. And I pray for those of you in this room that, you know what, you feel as if what you've done in the past has totally screwed you up. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it has not. He forgives you. He loves you. It's free, for free, 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 free. Just don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't try to earn his love back. Just love him. All you have to do is love him. His love for you never changes. He loves you. Maybe you're here today and you've walked away, you've taken the receipt and you've thrown it out. You've thrown it out. And you've been living in a life that's just so frustrating for you because you're still battling the same stuff. I just want to encourage you this morning, pick the receipt back up, put it in the wallet of your heart. Say, Father, Jesus, I need you. I need you. He is the champion. He is the guy that pays all of our debts. Thank you, God. Thank you for paying our debts. We love you. We love you. We're thankful for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we prayed. Amen. Amen.